She's filling in today for Dr. Chris Jones, and she's presenting a study that uses community-based participatory research and mixed methods to address the question of poverty and well-being for people with mental health conditions.
Good afternoon. Oh dear, you know what I didn't find? How do I
Just the left.
Okay. So I'm here speaking for Chris Jones, and I am not myself an economist. I will try to do the best I can with her data and her study. I think I can. I just wanted to preface my talk with a little bit of context, and that is that the study I'm going to present is one of quite a number of studies that have been conducted or being conducted in our center that I was introduced with. And that's this, if you grabbed one of these, and they're also at the mental health section booth. It's the Center to Study Recovery in Social Contexts. We are a group of multidisciplinary investigators. I'm not an economist. Who are working together with people with mental health conditions to use a capabilities approach to look at public mental health policy. And this study is one where we have worked with our community to construct well-being measures. There are many, because we do community-based participatory research and we're multidisciplinary, every project has quite a number of people. And this includes economists, myself, I'm a psychologist, people with mental health conditions, advocates, and we are supported by the National Institute of Mental Health, the Nathan Klein Institute, which is an office of New York State Office of Mental Health Research Institute, and some of our faculty come from Fordham University. I wanted to just talk a second about the hypothesis for this study was that people with psychiatric diagnoses experience less well-being, and that is greater poverty, than the general population. We wanted to take a multidimensional approach to the question of poverty, and so we framed it as well-being. And although this is a session on resilience and recovery, I'm afraid that what I'm mostly talking about is deprivation and well-being. We're going to ask what the elements are that are associated with well-being, so that we did in conjunction with our consumer survivor community, all of whom have conditions that are generally considered to be severe mental health diagnoses, and they are on disability, some of them are working as peers, but it's really been a journey for us to work together in developing our CBPR approach. We ask our consumer partners and consumers in the community about elements of well-being, the importance of those elements, and then we try to work to combine those elements into a single measure that would reflect multidimensionally the important elements that that consumers feel are necessary for their well-being, and try to then look at that in conjunction with a national data set. So our goal was to really take this and just keep building it out and to look at the healthcare and community. We've looked at a couple of national data sets. This particular study looks at the healthcare and communities data set, and then look at how people with mental health conditions compare to the general population in their well-being. Our center as a whole uses SEN's capabilities approach, and SEN basically looks at the gross domestic product of a country and says how a country is doing, the well-being of a country is really not about the money. It's about what you can do with the money. Money is not an end in and of itself. It enables people, the citizens of a country, to participate in well-being, health, literacy, community, being able to participate in valued roles in their community. And so we do that. SEN is very much about participation, and so we do that. We identify our values and do of all research that we do in a CBPR approach. And in this study, we try to combine. It's really more intuitive to use qualitative approaches to engage community members in research. And so we try to combine qualitative and quantitative methods in this. So how will we measure poverty here? We looked at prevalence, and that economists typically call that the head count, and that is the percent of people who satisfy some criterion for poverty, whether it's 100% of the federal poverty line or 133%, which is what the Affordable Care Act is using as a criterion for people to participate to qualify for Medicaid. Then we looked at scope. You know, we're saying that poverty or the absence of well-being is more than just income. What are the elements of well-being, and how can we look at multiple elements of well-being? And to what extent are people, if they're not deprived in terms of poverty, deprived in terms of the other elements of well-being that they've identified? And then depth, which is kind of a composite measure that combines both the number of people and the breadth of their deprivation of well-being. In this CBPR project, we had an existing project totally focused on national data sets, and our consumer partners came to us and said, no, not enough. Totally focused on income, we need more. So they really brought us to the well-being point of view. And so the study team, it represents, as I told you when I pointed that out, represents a great deal of academic and lived experience. The entire team is involved in this project. Everyone makes some substantive decisions. People are all involved in implementing methods, interpreting findings, and writing and presenting. I'm presenting this, but we've had our findings presented by every perspective on the study has been in front of a group and talked about what we have found. We feel that there is mutual benefit gained in doing this, and that there's some potential for moving on. So what did we do when we used mixed methods? We used concept mapping, and then we did a statistical analysis of this large data set, Healthcare for Communities. In concept mapping, we gathered members of the community of people with psychiatric disabilities in a couple of places that our folks run, and posed a question, what does a person who talked about well-being, a life worth living, to you, and asked, what does it mean to experience well-being? To experience well-being a person needs. And then in concept mapping, what you do is you brainstorm first, so people talk about, they focus on that question about what one needs to experience well-being, and then folks take the items that have been brainstormed and they sort them into piles that seem most similar to them. It's kind of this old-timey Q-sort approach, right? And then they rate them on their importance. And then we apply a multidimensional scaling and cluster analysis to the data that we now have, and we develop a map, typically using maybe 9 concepts, you know, sort of play with that. And then we asked the folks who participated in the brainstorming to look at the clusters of items and think about what they represented. Then we came together again, discussed what the common threads were within each of those concepts, and named them. So that's what our concept mapping piece was. And then quantitatively, we needed to try to operationalize those formulas of prevalence, scope, and depth of poverty to evaluate well-being in an existing large national data set. Not such an easy task, because large national data sets really don't pick up a lot of what our folks say is important to their well-being. The large national data set was Healthcare for Communities. It's a representative national household sample of over 6,000 people between 18 and 60 years of age. Phone interviews were done. This is done in panels. We took the data that were available in the late 90s, from 97 to 98. And the survey itself asks folks, individuals, about their demographic, economic, health, social, and community situations. And the reason that we chose Healthcare for Communities, although it's limited in some ways, was that it includes really good measures of mental health conditions and substance use conditions. And it also has physical and psychological functioning and some questions about stress. So we thought that we would be able to get a good handle on the national population by using this data set, not always available in these. So in this data set, there were about 1,300 people, 1,352, who had any mental health or substance use condition. Our concept mapping clusters, you can see the things that were important to well-being from the folks in our community. And I've done a number of mapping of recovery models with folks. And you really see people are are really focused on having meaning and purpose in their life. And very often this means having an opportunity to give back in some way, often as an advocate. They talk about their values and positive traits, their ability to feel and express what's going on with them. They talk very much about being socially connected. You can see that the healthcare and communities data was able to reflect close positive relationships and connections in some ways. Certainly a lot about health and benefits and services, and a lot about material well-being. It's the easiest thing to collect. So now we've moved to the healthcare and communities data set. And in terms of close positive relationships, we felt that we could ask people if that the variables that were in this data set picked that up in whether people were married and had a good relationship. It picked up community connection in terms of whether people could go out and socialize, they had companionship, or if they were cared about. Health and benefits, they ask a lot about overall health, good physical health, whether a person's physically fit or has access to affordable mental health services. And material well-being, of course, they ask about employment, education, and assets, income. I'm going to show you these two slides. What we did was we looked at, this is where my ability to tell you about someone else's data breaks down a little bit. The number that's next to that close positive relationships line is the importance of that cluster. So close positive relationships was a cluster, one of the concepts that our folks thought was really important to well-being. It was also a cluster that we were able to pick up in healthcare and communities. And that importance rating reflects about 23%, I'm going to guess, of the total well-being in the healthcare and communities data set as reflected by these concepts. Community connection is about a similar kind of percentage. Oops.
The left will make it.
Yeah, okay. Health benefits and services people thought were very, very important, and that represented about 26%. And material well-being, just a smidge less than that. So you can see that folks overall, when they did concept mapping, when people generated their own ideas about what was important to their well-being, they chose health and benefits and services, material well-being, close positive relationships, and community connection. We then decomposed that, looking at the variables in the healthcare and communities data set, so that of those, overall health represented the largest component of well-being in what we were going to look at. So remember, what we're trying to do here is construct a measure that is weighted by these items that people have told us are really important. We're trying to reflect their importance, their relative value of these items in this large data set. So once again, good relationship and married represent about 10% each. Being cared about, companionship, and going out and socializing, 10%, a little less. Sorry. Overall health, very important. Access to affordable mental health services, less important. Employment, very important to people. Education and money, about that important. Okay. What this slide shows you is a comparison of people with any diagnosis, that 1350 TO I told you, anyone with a mental health or substance use condition, and the general population on all of these variables. And I think what you see is that that people with mental health conditions do have more deprivation in most of these items except for their income. They're not so bad. They're roughly equivalent. They're roughly equivalently employed. And they're roughly equivalently got high school educations. But they have very poor social relationships, which are very important to them. They don't feel so very cared for or have ability to have companionship or socialize. Their health status is dreadful. That's about it. That's the end. Okay. This is the total look at it. And community-based participatory, I'm sorry, I took flunk. Community-based participatory research is difficult to implement. We learned a lot. It's challenging. There's a disconnect between qualitative and quantitative information. And it's very important to focus on this and to get large national data sets that do reflect people's values. Thank you.
All right.